Hello, listeners. In case you missed last week's podcast, Amy, Hunter, and I started our personal rankings of every episode in Adventure Time's fifth season. We started at number 52 and worked our way down to 26. And this week, you'll be hearing numbers 25 to 1. We actually recorded this months ago, so when you hear us talking about how we were still watching Fiona and Cake, that's why. Also, stick around for listener feedback afterwards. Anyway, enjoy the show.
It's podcast time! Come on, grab your friends. We'll talk about very distant lands. We met the man and names a woman. The fun will never end. It's podcast time.
Where are we? Number 20... 25. Okay. So we had episode 32, Earth and Water. Flame Princess is tested by Bubblegum. Yep, the highlight of this one, FP and Cinnamon Bun bringing out the best in each other. Beyond that, there's not a ton that I even really remember from this one. Like, I've watched this one several times, and it's just never stood out quite too high. But, like, this is, like, one step below we're getting into our next category, which is love it. The good parts of this one are really good, and it just elevates it a little further than some other ones.
Yeah, I think the thing that we liked most about this was the Flame Princess Cinnamon Bun kind of, like, relationship and how that really flourished and was so surprising. I think that was what was big for me.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was really, this might have been the first one. I said it with the last thing, but this was like the first one where I don't know if Finn's in this one at all, other than maybe like a quick scene, but like he's not around for anything. And yeah, Princess Bubblegum's there, but it's nice for her to kind of be finding herself. And she still has, she does then team up with Cinnamon Bun, who becomes sort of like her friend, crutch, sidekick type thing. But like, she's really growing.
Her hand.
This episode, yeah.
Her hand is who he becomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. That one will be up fairly soon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Number 25 for me is episode 41, The Pit.
Nice.
Cool.
Like I had mentioned earlier, like this is one of their better cliffhangers that aren't an end of a season into a next season type of jump.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he's getting as I put here, the Buffalo Bill treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Question in the basket, he gets his blood sucked out and his response is,
put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to do that voice.
As long as you don't do the actual stand up and take off a trench
the dance
thing, I think, yeah, don't.
I am on Zoom.
I know. I'm just going to put my papers up.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
What you doing
in
your free time, Matt?
Oh, yeah, this...
Gross. No. Move on. We're moving on.
Okay. Rip, little buddy. That was so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for the first 12 years, we're asleep, and then we wake up, and he's like in this new world, and then he just dies.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's a happy little guy.
I'm just gonna act like he's still sleeping.
Yep, aww. He's just instantly traumatized.
There's a line where Jake talks about making a tape for Lady.
Yes,
and. Whenever Finn's trying to find the stuff and he's like, hey, Lady, how's it? Another one of those references where I'm like, this is still a kid's show.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode's got so much funny
lines,
stuff.
I think.
Yeah. But my favorite part of the episode, Shelby, check, please.
Check, please. I love Keoth as the villain in this one. He's so funny. He's like the really funniest villain we've had in a while.
Yeah, Keoth was fantastic. I wish we could have seen a little bit more of him. I feel like he's just more with the Jacob storyline, so it makes sense that he isn't always around, but he Definitely. Was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
agreed.
He was. I agree. All right, number 24, we had episode 9, All Your Fault. We're getting really into our more like love it's. So these are episodes that are, I think a lot of them are interchangeable for us. So for this is one you're referencing before, Maddie, was
okay.
Lemon John. It's the most positive we've seen a Lemon Kingdom episode. Matt will contend that the Lemon John's sacrifice adds a lot of heart. It has creepy moments, but overall just a great one.
Yeah, I got this one mixed up with another Lemon Grab episode at some point. So my bad.
52 okay. episode, that's all good.
100%, yeah.
Well, this is fun. My number 24 is All Your Fault.
Hey, nice. We do have some overlap.
Nice. I can't believe it.
The perfect one.
Yeah.
That's
did
awesome.
You enjoy, did you guys enjoy the reference from The Thing?
Oh, which yes. part was that?
When they open the door and the face is peeling.
Yep. Absolutely.
I was like, again, a wild thing to have in a kid's show. No kids seen The Thing.
Yep.
But yeah, here we are. It's for the adults. So
we're going to go see The Thing on the big screen next month.
Well, I'm jealous.
Yep. I'm so excited. I've always wanted to see that movie in a movie theater.
Yeah, that's why when you guys were talking about seeing Jurassic Park in 3D, like we went that
it
same
It was
weekend.
So awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
For that reason, like I really want them to, one of my best experiences ever was seeing Titanic years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago at one of its yearly, 25-year thing in 3D and IMAX. And it's just like, they should do that more often. Like,
I wanted to go to that.
Yeah.
That was they just did another one. They'll probably do another one in like 4 years. Just wait.
Yep.
Yeah,
James Cameron needs a little more money for Avatar sequels.
Yeah. Hey, them and Avengers, they just keep releasing to see who's going to stay the top. They just keep taking turns.
It's the same movie over and over.
What I love about Jurassic Park in 3D is like it wasn't distracting. It just like got you more immersed in the movie.
Yeah. Get a little bit of depth. And then every once in a while, like something would sort of jump out, but it wasn't like built for it, so it was more fun. Like when it happened, you didn't expect it as much. Especially there was a part at the end when the girl falls through and the raptor jumps up into the ceiling tiles.
Yeah.
That one like really came out, and I was like, oh,
it was awesome.
And
so
I was with
good.
My 6-year-old, and she was like so scared, even though she's seen it before, she still was like, knowing it's coming, it's freaking her out because they're coming out at you.
Yeah.
I loved
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, but back to this, All Your Fault. For me, Lemon Grab episodes are fantastic because it's just another chance for them to let him just be insane.
Yep.
Like he's just going to be a crazy character. And I just love that unhinged side that he brings to this world. Like for the most part, everybody, even in their craziness, it's because they're kind of, his is also because he's stupid, but he's like a special kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unpredictable.
Yeah.
Unhinged.
He is fantastic for that. I do have my headcanon here. When they talk about that formula being left, I believe that she left it with the lemon grabs just to see what they would do for her studies. Like she's studying, okay, if I leave this, what are they going to, like, because she could have easily helped make the people and then like left. But no, she's like leaving him in charge and she's like testing him to see like what he's going to do for future studies.
Yeah.
And I wrote, the fact that she wouldn't fix their hearts proves that she doesn't see them as her people, but as objects to study. So another,
you can totally see that.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Number 23 is episode 35, Love Games. Finn offers the Barry Slime Princess. So one of the reasons I like this one so much is it's like, I get like a laugh a minute in this one. I find Blargatha to be hilarious. The whole Guillermo thing was really funny. I loved the Slime King. And of course, I love the song on this one. This is just such a goofy, ridiculous episode. And I think I kind of love it for that.
Plus one.
All right.
That is, even though it was my unacceptable of the season, it did have a lot of season one vibes to it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I loved about it.
Yeah.
All right. Number 23 for me is Vault of Bones.
Vault of Bones. Do the splits.
Like, there's some good stuff in this, including the fact that we get Keith David again.
Evil. Yes.
That's fun. Anytime he's in it, I'm in heaven.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Adventure Time is really good at dungeon episodes. They've nailed dungeon episodes. And I think the most important question to ask off that is, how many dungeons are there and why? Why are there so many dungeons? Mm. It doesn't make sense. Like, we can't go find dungeons in this world. It's supposed to somewhat be the same world, right?
Yeah. It's like a Zelda game. It's like,
yeah.
Who built all these dungeons and why are they here?
Why are there so many dungeons?
Here? Yeah.
We love a great dungeon episode. So all of the dungeon episodes are really higher, much higher for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, totally agree.
It's also crazy that he's able to find all these dungeons like when no one's ever explored them. Like,
yeah. Well,
but that's who he is though, right? Like,
radical adventure boy. he has like a sense for these things.
Yeah.
This is a episode where while it is a Finn and Flame Princess, we don't get to see her as much. we do get to see, like, while she has the potential for, like, she just has this rage and this power, mm-hmm. that she's not actually evil. She just needs to mature a little bit more and be able to control that power. And that's, like, this is leading into, like, we're talking about with the Red Throne, like, seeing her, or even Earth and Water, where she's, like, actually growing and accepting a role of, like, she can be a leader. And this is kind of the beginning sprinklings of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, number 22, we had episode 29, Skywitch.
And yeah, we talk about a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, PB stealing the show. It's great seeing her and Marcy team up. We've talked about this a little bit already. So, yeah, love this episode.
Yep, this is one of those episodes where I love PB.
All right, 22 for me is episode 51, Lemon Hope Part 2.
Interesting. Right. Okay.
Yeah, this one fell a couple spots for me. And not that I dislike anything about it. It just, I probably think about this one a good amount, but I get, because they do the Lemon Hope song twice during the show, during the season, it's not like that's something that tethers me to this episode in particular. It's just kind of like, I like that end of the episode song.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Overall for me, like, the Lemon Hope story is good, but I just don't love it. Like, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
It's not as fun.
I kind of feel the same way.
Enjoyable.
I do find it very good. There's just other character storylines that, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
There's just, and then others I enjoy more.
It does leave me at the end as he's walking through however far in the future. Like, I want to know how far in the future it is, because, like, everything's destroyed. Even when we watch some of this newer future stuff, like, not everything's destroyed, or I don't know how far in the future is that, and, like, what's happened. So it does have me wanting to know more, but I do like that he's ending his story with that freedom he so desired.
Yep. Yeah. He has a line at the end where he's like, all right, see you in 1,000 years. So I do wonder if he literally came back 1,000 years later.
I did wonder that as well. If it's exact, it probably is. They wouldn't say 1,000. And I mean, I guess they could. They can do whatever they want, but I don't think they would. But it's I enjoy it for the most part. It's just not like as like funny or as crazy as some of these other episodes. But it's a good fitting ending to the Lemon Hope saga.
Absolutely.
I think we'll share more of our feelings about it when we talk about it on ours. But I hear all the things you're saying and definitely agree.
Yep. That's actually an episode that jumped up a few spots for us.
Mm-hmm.
Number 21, episode 18, Princess Potluck. Very Ice King centric. This is Ice King comedy gold. Gunter goes undercover at the Princess Potluck at the Ice King's bidding. Yeah, this one's just like, it's a laugh a minute episode. There's like nothing terribly special about this one. It's just, we had so much fun watching it that it had to go higher up on the list.
Yep. Again, it's like one of those episodes where it's like the balance of story and enjoyment. And this is where that enjoyment piece comes in.
And he was invited to the party the whole time. And he's just,
never checked his mail.
Who checks their mail anymore?
Yeah. Come on. It's weird that he has mail.
Thank you.
This is one of those cases where it feels like an earlier season episode, but in a good way.
Yeah. There's an episode coming up, because I rewatched it today and I started noticing all of the weird intricacies of the Candy Kingdom and how it's like, well, wait, why do they have that? And what are they? And I'll get into that when we get there, but their world building is really weird, because it seems like a ton of world building, but it doesn't always fit. And like, mail's kind of in there. Like, okay, does somebody deliver mail? Like, how does that work?
So many questions.
Why? Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like a throwaway joke in the show. How does it work?
We've talked about this in the series, like in our podcast multiple times, like different things that come up that were just like, wait, so there has to be a lot of infrastructure for this to be a real thing.
So there's a Department of Transportation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. For me, number 21 is episode 32, Earth and Water. I don't know how much I really have to add to this, other than like, it is just nice to get more Flame Princess. I wish we had more. That's kind of it. But I like where it goes from here on out. It was just another good episode where we get Jessica DeCicco being awesome.
Yep. It's a great way to set up where she's going to be going from here on out.
Yeah.
So that leads us to our 20 is episode 47, Red Throne. You know, we've talked about it already. We've talked about how cool the arc is for Cinnamon Bun. Just a great episode overall.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I love her speech. Yeah, it's so good. It's so, so good. Love it. Love, love, love it.
All right.
I do love that a lot of our Flame Princess episodes are all like right here in the middle. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of
like up our middle,
but we wish there was more to it. Like, it's good, but it could be better type thing. But like, ultimately, like, we like them.
Yep.
All right. The next one for me, this one moved up a couple spots just because I think I'll get into it. Episode 45, Blades of Grass.
Nice.
Yeah.
What comes from this storyline, I really, really love. And that's where I think maybe my bias comes in a little bit more. But I really like how it's just, it does seem like in episode one, just he needs another sword. He's got to go find it. Grass wizard, all this. Like, he's fighting the tardigrades. That's kind of a wild thing to throw in there. But, like, there's a lot of fun to it. I believe we get a little Choose Goose.
Yes, we do.
But they don't go to Choose Goose.
He's a little frosty about it. Yeah.
Which I get it. But he's like, well, I mean, last time you gave us a cursed blade. So, like, kind of on you, bro.
Yeah.
But, like, this episode, probably for me, the reason I'm ranking higher is the future. Like, knowing what comes of this, I like seeing this origin of sorts again.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
exactly. That's why I'm being vague.
I'm assuming it has to do with
enjoy Fern, the sword.
But I don't.
Hey, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't even know who Fern is.
Yeah. I've never heard of that name. That's season five. What's Adventure Time?
What is Adventure Time?
Yeah. It's crazy like how some big things coming up in the show have such small beginnings. Like,
yeah,
this episode doesn't feel like an important one while you're watching it. And same with like Apple Wedding with a. Like some of the characters introduced in that one, it's like, whoa, really? Of all episodes, this is where they started?
Interesting. Well, I'm excited to find out more about these things you speak of.
Yeah. Number 19 is episode 20, which is the guys use signs to talk. Okay. We just found this one very funny. We enjoyed the story, visual storytelling without any spoken dialogue for the most part. Thought it was funny that BMO's freaking out the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just enjoyed it.
Finn and Jake. Bikini so girls, good. Get them. They're That's not so Finn and Jake.
I love the unrealistic amount of things that Jake has written in a short amount of time.
Yes.
And then all of Finn's cards are good job, Jake. Way to go, Jake. Yep. Love you.
Yep. Makes him feel super guilty. Yep. Aw. just enjoy this one. I actually don't have as much to say about this one as I would have thought, considering its placement in our list, but. Yeah, I'd watch it again.
I do think it's great. I think it was just a good visual storytelling. You know, it wasn't necessarily like dialogue heavy or things like that, but it was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of his visual humor. And when you're reading it, like my daughter tried to watch that one with me and she's like, can we pause it? Because she can read, but they were like flashing it a little too quick. And so I was thinking that's probably lower on most kids' lists because it's just a lot more of like sight humor over the jokes and like weird stuff they would sometimes do.
You know what I love about what you just said is that you're making an assumption that kids are ranking these episodes.
Kids don't rank things.
No, I guess not. I think probably a little.
Is this just a millennial thing?
Yeah, that's it.
Millennials like to rank things.
It's our favorite.
Funny.
All right. For me, number 19 is episode 26. Wizards Only, Fools.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love any Wizard City, WizBiz, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I want more. And I think at the time I wrote this, I hadn't really watched. I don't even know if I watched that episode in Distant Lands yet. I think that's the only one I haven't watched.
That's the only one I haven't watched either.
Yeah. There's like a whole thing there, but I just kind of, I need to watch it. I never got around to it.
Yeah.
I love Wizard City. I love how it's all like, you know, PB doesn't believe in it, but yet it's here and it exists. But how much of it is real? And you got like Ron James is just fantastic.
Ron James is great.
Yeah.
Ron James is great. And in my original notes, I said, Matt, please exclaim, y'all is fakes.
Y'all is fakes. I can't remember how he says it.
It's, I mean, it's a hard one to do just because his voice is so different. But yeah, I love Ron James. I like that all of her candy citizens are just immediately like conspiracy theorists again. And they don't trust her. And like it does in this way, sprinkles a little bit for like Apple Wedding, where they're all with the King of Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I don't see your authority here, Princess Bubblegum.
The biggest takeaway I have from this one is I'm so thankful Abracadaniel was not sacrificed. He is too lovely. He is the winner of the wizard battle. He needs to be respected by his peers. Why are they treating him this way?
Right.
Turn and push.
I love Abracadaniel. He's one of my favorite characters.
It was an embarrassing amount of time before I realized what his silhouette is.
Oh, silhouette's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, as soon as she saw him, she's like, hey, man, my poor innocent mind. Oh, blew my mind.
All right. So for 18, we did episode 19, James Baxter.
James Baxter.
James Baxter. Really fun time. Very quotable. Lots of memorable scenes. It's just good.
It's just memorability factor. This is like an iconic episode in my mind.
Yep.
I'll have more on that later because that's the same thing. Like it just as memorable as ever from
absolutely
the show.
yeah.
All right, number 18 for me is episode 31, Too Old.
Nice.
I do like this is the beginning of the Lemon Hope saga. I really like seeing Lemon Grab 1 as more of the tyrant and kind of feel bad for Lemon Grab 2. Like, it's interesting that there's, like, a good Lemon Grab in a way. This is the one where he fully eats him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fully eats him in this one.
It's, like, upsetting to watch.
He doesn't show back up for, like, I think it's the Lemon Grab or Lemon Hope Part 2 is when he busts out of him. Out of his mouth and like he helps Lemon Hope
and like pulls that's like a out of the ears.
Yeah, that's a 20 episode. Like they just waited. You see him being devoured whole,
it's wild.
And then he's just trapped on there the whole time.
Episodes later, they come back to it. Yeah, that one was wild. That was just
And
it's a weird episode because of Lemon Grab again. But yeah, wild. Mm-hmm.
I love watching the evolution of the character. It's fascinating. He's one of those characters that like. You wouldn't have thought upon his first appearance on the show that this guy would have such an arc, but it's wild. Yeah. It is really cool.
Yep.
Number 17 is episode 46, Rattle Balls. So great moral questions while still being funny and entertaining. Yet it's just short of being one of the top as far as memorability. Every time I watch this one, I love it. And I'm always surprised that I don't watch it more often. I like, again, like the moral questions with PB in this one. Rattle Balls as a character is great.
Yes, I agree.
I wish Finn didn't rat him out.
Bound by honor.
Yep. Bound by honor. But yeah, I think this episode's just swell.
It's awesome. I like it. It was like a good training montage, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Training montage automatically puts it up there. That's like having a dungeon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this next one jumped 16 spots up my list. Ooh,
that's crazy.
Upon reviewing. So it was 33, it's now 17, but it's episode 4, Up a Tree.
Hey!
And, you know, trying to still separate it from the Fiona and Cake episode where they were back, I went back to sit down and actually rewatch it. And I really enjoyed it. Whereas I feel like before, maybe it was like the eccentricities of it. Like, I was just so, I don't know, I didn't find it as it was maybe too eccentric. That's probably just where I have to leave. Yeah. It was like too eccentric.
I could see that.
And I enjoyed it, but it was like, I could take it or leave it. But yeah, on this watch through again, like I had like a newfound love for it. It is weird that the episode just ends. Like there's no ending. Like he's still small. He's still flying through the air.
I always think about that. Yep.
Now when I play frisbee though with my daughter, like she likes to go out and play, just throwing a frisbee. And I'll throw it in like the perfect throw.
More like the perfect blow. I swear I could just quote this one from beginning to finish at this point.
The yes and no's. He's like, yes, I could, but no. Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, yes
like,
and
I'm really flying off a thousand feet away. Yeah, yeah. but also
in my mind.
There's a lot of good stuff in that mind.
Where's my thing?
It's so quotable.
There's a lot of good quotes in that one. And Jim Cummings being one of the voices in there. Like,
yeah.
And it sounds a lot like, you know, the Winnie the Pooh Tigger, because he voices all of them. Pete from the Goofy Troop and all that stuff. He has a lot of that in some of these characters, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
So moved up 16 spots. I hope you don't hate me.
No, this episode is all about the voice performances. Like, everybody is so good in this one. You have like the porcupine. Mm-hmm. Everybody has like their little moment to shine in this one. And I love how, like, when they're all chanting in the tree, part of the tree, like their voices are all in unison. But then when it cuts to any individual person, their voice stands out like crazy. They're like, in the tree.
Yeah. And I do like in the end, like, he's like, and if I had a buddy to get out of here with me, like, would I leave? Yes. But could I? No. And Finn just like, hey, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. His eyes light up.
I love it.
Finn just walks out of the cage, too.
Yeah. He just steps out. Let's get out of here.
What are you doing? After those.
All right. Let's move on. We could quote this all day. Episode 16. My earbuds are going to die. Number 16 on our list, episode 8, Mystery Dungeon. Love, love, love. All the characters in this one were really showcased so well. There's great depth. Nectar shines. Great, great episode.
Absolutely.
All right. 16 for me is episode 11, Bad Little Boy. I love Donald Glover. I love him. Mm-hmm. He's perfect as Marshall Lee. I actually, months ago, wrote, I wish we could have seen more of him because he doesn't come back. So it's great that we are seeing more of him. It does make sense that he's like so cool because Marceline wrote it. So it's like makes a ton of sense why he's such a cool character. But the interesting dichotomy of him also being the bad guy, that she may see herself more of that way. Like, I'm cool, but I'm also bad.
Yeah, there's something to that.
I love the song Good Little Girl, Bad Little Boy. Like, that's one of my favorite of the show, especially whenever they get to the Bad Little Boy part in the second half. Like, I really like, again, I'm a big fan of his music, so I thought it was great. I like the episode a lot. It's one of my favorite Fiona and Cakes. I'm not saying it's one of the best ones, but just because of my feelings, like, I really like this one.
Yeah.
This one, too, that if I went back and watched it, I'd probably feel way different than I did this last viewing, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Number 15, episode 12, Vault of Bones. We've actually talked quite a bit about this one already, and I think we've all shared like everything that I have to say about it. It's a dungeon crawler, really fun, one-liners in this one. I like some of the ghouls in the dungeon, the doing the splits. Yeah, I enjoy it. I'll pop this one on anytime.
He gets the key. He's like, "Oh, can we put it in here?" Nope. Gotta find. He's so.
She's like, "This is so boring." And it's like it's showing like. Somebody who loves dungeon crawler video games, and then you have the other person that's like, I don't get this. You're just going back and forth. It's like, we get to go back and forth.
Yeah.
What, playing World of Warcraft really highlights that for me when I, you know, it's like, oh, it's like you're farming or you're doing like these quests and then you have to go back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, yeah, it's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Number 15 on my list is number 18, Princess Potluck.
Nice.
Ice King's the best. He's so funny. He's so good. I've found that Ice King episodes tend to rank higher on my list than any other specific character. But really, there's so much good in this. And because of the wonky timeline that it's happening at the same time as Bimo Noir from last season, there's all these like funny little things that like, even if you go back and watch Bimo Noir, there's like things that don't fully get answered until this episode. Yeah. And then if you haven't seen that one, you wouldn't get them.
Yeah.
I believe that's where the Jake comes back and there's an arrow sticking out of him.
Yes.
And in this one, it shows that it was that crazy squirrel that shoots him.
Yes.
Because he has the
son of a bleep blob. Like,
I think this season is where I think they really figured out the writing for Ice King, and I think they did such a great job, and I couldn't be happier with the development of Ice King in this.
Sometimes he could be too much in like season one. And this is like they really found the balance. Like, Ice King comedy episodes at this point are like some of the funniest episodes.
I totally agree.
It was the the Holly Jolly Secrets being that like turn for him where he goes from being just kind of a villain to like a sympathetic villain, but even then like kind of a regular dude. It's another episode of like, he could have, they would all be his friend at this point, but he's so weird and doing some weird stuff. He's like in his own head because he's crazy because of the crown. Like, some of my favorite episodes going forward have to deal with the crown and everything that's involved with that. And then him. And yeah, it's just, I think I answered on, I think it was on Twitter, on like favorite episodes, and like, the one where it's like the history of the crown, like that might be my favorite episode of the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting.
Is that Evergreen?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, love that episode.
Yeah. Well, now you just ruined the, when she has to guess about the episode.
She'll forget it by then. That's like a year away.
She'll get A++ on that one.
I will literally forget. I was telling Matt, I was like, as soon as these episodes are over, it's gone out of my mind. So, all right. So let's move on. Number 14, we have episode 6, Jake the Dad. Love this. I think primarily for us, it was the fox that made it.
Yep. A goofy side character sometimes can really make an episode. Like, look at Sir Slicer and Blood Under the Skin or Drop Ball Guy.
Okay. Episode 40, Playdate, is my 14th. For me, this is like where you start getting from like really good episodes to like some of my favorite, like the great episodes of this season. Abercadaniel just, he warms my heart. And I love all the little goofy things they do with their, it's fun to watch their friendship like blossom. And then you'll see it more going forward. Like he wants to hang out with Abercadaniel. They become actual friends going forward. Yay. And it's nice for IK to have that. Like he's jealous at first of, I think he says something like, you trying to get in all my skis? Like, but he's just, they become two like children. I know that's the opening art is them as babies.
Yeah.
But they are like little babies, and Finn and Jake are just so over it. They're happy that they don't have to deal with them anymore, Ice King. But like, and then he drops the line after Keoth takes Jake and he's like, oh, the Ice King's been fixed for weeks. We can go back to my place.
And they're like,
the cut to Finn's face and he's just like shocked. Like, like such a good ending.
Yep. Absolutely. Comedy gold. I love that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 13 for us is number 36, Dungeon Train. Love it. Almost by default. Dungeon episodes always seem to be awesome and among our favorites. I love all the things that he's fighting in the dungeon. I like seeing Finn lose himself in here. And I like Jake's whole part of the story here, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just this one's just really enjoyable. This is another one that I'd throw on any day.
I think so, too. And I think we get the best of both worlds where, you know, you're getting the dungeon part, which I absolutely love, but then you're also getting just like the story arc aspect where he's actually healing from the stuff he's been going through and he's doing it in his way. And I love that they give space for that. Yep. And they normalize like, hey, like there's not one way for everybody to heal. So it's cool. You know,
I probably have it lower than I should, but
that's okay. No judgment
whatsoever. Yeah.
Okay, number 13 for me is episode 2, Jake the Dog.
Nice.
I wrote Finn the Human walked so Jake the Dog could run. Like, Finn the Human's episode is just so... It is the perfect, it's set up. It's a good setup episode, but it sets up so much that when you get to this one, like, it's just crazy how he seems to be, speaking of Dungeon Train, he cares so much about Finn. He's like bending over backwards. And then you go to the little people episode and he doesn't show up for 4 weeks. And then this one, he's just hanging out with Prismo and the Cosmic Owl in a hot tub, rapping and eating pickles. Like
while Finn's going through this. Yeah.
Going through some stuff.
It is odd, right?
Yeah. And it's just crazy. Like I do love the wholesome nature that Jake has with like Prismo and Cosmic Owl. He can just hang out and he's cool. And it's, I like that we built that. This episode, but it is weird that he just doesn't seem to care more about everything that Finn's going on the TV right next to him.
Yep.
So
is it that he doesn't care, or is it that he's like literally like, I don't know what to do, so he's frozen? You know what I mean?
He has that in his mind too, that like Finn can take care of himself, and he's like, whatever.
And
that's true.
At this point, does he? I can't remember. He still gets a wish. Is that's how it ends? Maybe you would think at some point, maybe he's just seen how it plays out.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Do another question based off that. Does Finn retain those memories of being Farm World Finn?
You know, I'm not sure it's
all negated. And does Jake remember it? Because he has to remember Prismo and all that stuff.
I'm pretty sure
he does. Goes in the vault.
Yeah.
It might go in the vault. Yeah. It's never really touched upon if Finn remembers it or not.
Yeah. I don't think they ever bring it up, but I would assume he doesn't, because they would like, that world does exist out there, though, as we'll see in future episodes, as well as in future shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good points. Good points.
All right. So number 12, we had Blade of Grass. We love it. Just an enjoyable episode. I really like Finn's arc in this, where he is able to, like, take this weird experience of, like seeing a cursed sword and really just make it a new and like useful extension of himself, which I think is really neat.
Absolutely. It's good reframing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a good lesson for the kids.
Oh. For the children.
It's a good message for the children.
Oh my God.
Number 12 for me is episode 34, The Vault.
Nice. I keep saying nice.
It's crazy that an episode this fantastic is going to be sitting at 12. Like, that to me is a testament to how good of a season this is. Like,
absolutely.
I am absolutely in love with some of these episodes we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yet they have to fall somewhere in the ranking. So
yeah,
I love when Adventure Time does these either past storylines, future storylines, alternate reality storylines. Like, there's some, and it's not even fully, it's world building in a way, but even with alternative realities, like, the multiverse is so interesting. We're getting kind of smacked over the head with it right now from Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I still love the idea. Like, that's why, weird to say, I love the show Lost. And even with its not as great of ending, I still loved it. Like, I have it on DVD.
Lost ended? Sorry.
Did it? I mean, it did, but did it?
Did it? Question mark.
They ended something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's like, I watch this one and I'm just, I like that how it ends. We see this weird, like, that reincarnation exists in some form and fashion in this universe.
Yeah.
For all the characters, and that they're just all like cool with it. They all are just like, yeah, that's part of the world. Like, it's such an interesting world and a story they built. And absolutely, a payoff to one of my favorite episodes, the party one. I can't remember the name of it all of a sudden. Where they have the mystery party.
The Creeps?
Dungeon.
The Creeps. There you go.
Yeah. That episode's fantastic.
I just, again, another line to quote all the time. I'm Randy Butternubs.
Prince
like them to go all the way. It was Prince Hotbod.
Yep.
But to go all the way from that episode and have the show go, like, storyline be way wrapped up. And we're going to see some of those characters again in another future show. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, you know what I think is interesting is and I'm going to, you know, I'd like to share, you know, because the vault is pretty close in our next couple of
So we'll cover you that here too.
Having, like, Shoko is freaky in The Creeps, you know, like, it was terrifying. But then understanding, like, really building this kind of actual understanding of her universe and how it applies to Finn and how it actually was fine, you know, it's just really fascinating. And I just think that they do such a good job of, you know, helping us understand, like, this is a really multi-layered place and we may not fully understand it, but that gives creative, like, license for the writers to take it wherever they want to go and build as many layers as they want. And we aren't getting, like, this straight shot story. It, like, builds a foundation and then it's like, oh wait, no, that was actually a scaffolding to another foundation. And that was a scaffolding. And, you know, it's, like, really fascinating to watch this.
Definitely.
And I think Shoko's story really highlights that. Sorry, go ahead.
For sure. And I love Paul Shear again in this episode as the leader of the bathtub gang.
Pretend my fingers are a knife.
Pretend my fingers are a knife. I talk good. Yeah. But as you were saying, Hunter, like, how the show's good with the past and future storylines and alternate universe stuff. Because going forward on our list, we got a few of those and like our top tier. So yeah.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Number 11 for us is Finn the Human, episode 1. We loved it. The guys meet Prismo for the first time here. And like you said, it's a good setup for a second half that's going to be even better. Yeah. We almost rewatched this one last night just because I think we both remembered quite a bit more from Jake the Dog than we do from Finn the Human. But I know that overall we like this one a lot, just not as much as the second one.
Yeah. Number 11 for me is episode 49, Bad Timing. Like, for me,
interesting.
This one's just, it's a wild ride. Like you guys had mentioned earlier, the way it ends is just so sad and it packs such a punch and you feel it like somebody's life was ruined because of this. And I feel like LSP's ruined a lot of lives, but this one just felt like
she has for real.
Especially sad. Because there could have actually been something there, and she had the chance to actually be happy with Johnny.
Yep.
And it just also, Mark Proch is the best. Colin Robinson.
Love him.
Oh yeah, he was so good.
Love him. Yeah,
he's so good.
The thing that is so sad about this episode is it really highlights how jacked up LSP is.
Mm-hmm. And she's in a bad place.
She self-sabotages, and she really has created her own problems in a lot of ways. And it just is sad. And it's hard to watch someone struggle like that, you know?
She has zero impulse control.
Yes. Yeah.
It might have,
for sure,
one of the worst feeling endings, too, with the fact that he's stuck in this weird limbo, and she just gets to forget. Like, I feel like she shouldn't be able to forget. I would think.
I agree.
She should have had to have that be something that weighs on her. But it's a kid show. Yeah. We just got to keep it somewhat light and happy and move on. But it was like, man, this is heavy. And that that's why it's this high for me. It's just right outside the top 10. I like the heaviness.
There's some episodes like that, the show, where they end on a note where you're like, I guess that's that for that character. Another one that reminded me of that is I'm Don Juan Terry Tempo, or what's it? Where they use some of Finn's DNA in the end to stop this other thing. And it's locked in battle with it for all eternity. And it's like, it's like, oh no.
Sad overall.
Yep.
What was that? Yeah. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Goliad.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. To our top 10.
Woo!
We will bust through these. So we put as number 10, episode 2, Jake the Dog. We loved it. We thought, again, I love how you put it. Finn the Human was created so Jake the Dog could run, right? So it was awesome. And I know I jacked up the quote, but you said it perfectly. I think this was a great episode. Loved it. Loved all the different aspects of it. I don't think we need to keep rehashing it, but good episode.
All right, number 10 for me, and this is one that I watched, literally was the episode I watched right before we got on, and it fell six spots for me. It fell from number 4 to number 10.
Damn.
But episode 42, James.
Hey.
I still really like James.
I support that.
It's just, on the rewatch, like, I like a lot of the aspects of this episode. I do not like James, though, much as a character. He's so...
No, not at all. He sucks.
Which is why he is who he is. I just really like they're sad, they're messed up, they're feeling like they feel real feelings. And then they go, you know, we go back and we see how it plays out. And, you know, it's fun to see the people that have been affected by the Mushroom War. And we've really only seen them in the Marcy episodes. And then that might be it. The Simon and Marcy episodes are the only time they really show up because they're not. So I like the type of horror whodunit, like how much, like, because it could have ended with all of them dying. But the fact that I like that we're expecting James to be a bad guy, but it turns out he's really expendable, which if you notice when they go out in their suits, he's wearing the red suit, which Star Trek. Red shirt, the one that's gonna die.
Funny. I didn't notice that.
I do like that there at the end, like there's another James story that happens later in the show that follows up this storyline. And I like where it goes. So for me, while it may fall at the moment, like overall, I actually like the James storyline and what it's saying. And it is another episode I feel like with PB just she's sacrificing them because it's an easy sacrifice to make because she can just make another one. And it's like, mm-hmm. is that a good thing or a bad thing?
And then you look at that question, like, yeah. it's not the same James that she yeah. created.
Yeah, it's a heavy episode again.
Yeah.
Number 9 is episode 34, The Vault. We've already talked quite a bit about this one. Shoko's story. This is another one that ends on like a really moving note where like she crawls up that hill while she's dying and she becomes the tree that they ultimately live mm-hmm. in. Yep. I adore this episode. I think it's fantastic. It gets better and better for me every time I watch it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Number 9 for me, episode 39, We Fixed a Truck.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just fun. Weird Al's the best. Yeah. It goes yeah. from regular, just fun to unhinged. It reminds me of all the greatness that is season 1 and 2 and like what they just nailed it. Like yep. we get fun character stuff. The whole premise of like Banana Man just wants friends and he sings these good songs. And yeah. like Vimo's like, I don't know. I just love a lot of it.
Yep. Yeah. This is one of those episodes I just love from beginning to finish too. It's like the pure essence of everything good from yeah. seasons 1 and 2.
I do also like that Starchy, this is in fashion with the conspiracy theories of the season, but he has like a late night talk show and it's yep. all about conspiracies, but it actually is correct. She has been taken over by some giant lizard creature.
It's so funny.
And it's just, it's really wild. And then, yeah, I put Hot Daniel, Your 5,000 Candles in the Wind.
I love it. Oh, the moment of PB's tongue whipping out and catching yeah. the bug or whatever is like the yeah. moment that I was like, oh, I love this episode.
He gives him the ladybug. He's like, yes. Oh, you want some tea? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, Bimo's like, how about a bug?
Oh, comedy gold.
Oh, so good. All right. Number 8 for us was episode 44, Apple Wedding.
I can't believe this episode so high.
Tier. I know. We just, considering the storyline, it's unbelievable how much is introduced. We have Wyatt, King of Ooh. Every character brings a lot to the table, and it's really funny. So,
yep. It was just such a shock, like, how well-balanced it all was. Ultimately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, the confusing thing for me, though, and we talked about this in the episode, was, like, Cinnamon Bun was there to help PB, but he's also like part of Flame Princess's like pod. So I just was curious, like, how that worked out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and he wasn't himself either. So,
he might have been half baked again because of the environment or something.
Yeah.
Something. Or real world, they probably wrote it before they wrote the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
True. The yeah. show.
That's yeah. the most yeah. possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The most probable. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny that that's your number 8 and I have it at 47.
I know. I know. That's probably like our biggest right? difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. All right. For me, we are now in algebraic territory. These are my top episodes. So everything from here, these are the best of the best. When I think of Adventure Time, these episodes are like the episodes.
Heck yeah.
So number 8 for me. Yeah. Is James Baxter the horse. I just.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what's funny is this isn't even my favorite James Baxter episode.
Interesting.
Like, I just love the character and I love that it's just like a happy episode. Mm-hmm. Like they just want to be like James Baxter and mm-hmm. make everyone happy. It's so simple, but it's so pure.
Yep.
Yeah. I
have anything bad to say
I think
about
what's
this
cool about this. Yeah, I think like what's cool about James Baxter episode is it really like encapsulates like the like what Adventure Time is, you know? Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's really like this if I were to pick an episode, maybe that's what I would share. I don't know. From my limited viewing, y'all.
Yes.
But just like this would be one to capture kind of a little bit of everything.
It's just pure enjoyment.
It is.
And it's so quotable. Every scene in this one is memorable.
James Baxter.
Oh, I love this one. I love the little girl with the ice cream that's screaming.
Yeah.
And the weird milk monster in the end. Like everything about this one is so good.
It reminds me of the episode. I don't even remember the title, but it's the one with the horse that just stares at them with poo eyes.
Yeah.
The like eyes.
They did that one. And that episode really wasn't that great. It was so weird.
It's really weird.
It's like a similar concept of the horse, But it's just like, whereas that one's just pure weirdness, this is just pure like joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Some of my favorite episodes are the ones that it's just like Finn and Jake have nothing going on that day. Oh, let's go do whatever we feel like doing. We're going to copy this horse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are we? Oh,
Matthew.
Number 7, episode 52, Billy's Bucket List. Finn completing Billy's Bucket List. I feel like this was a good passing of the torch from it's saying like all these callbacks to early seasons in this one. But then also with this new tone that the show is going for, it is like the bridge between the first half of Adventure Time and the second half. And I think it did that so well. But it's also not like it doesn't feel as big as other finales do.
Mm. What we were talking about is like I didn't feel like Billy had a good send off, and this episode does that for us. It really mm-hmm. gives Billy the send off he deserves, and also furthers the storyline and also has a number of callbacks that like heals parts of Finn or parts of the story that were kind of like left undone. It's just, there's just a completeness about this mm-hmm. episode that we really liked.
The Fear Feaster's back.
Yeah.
But yeah, just really enjoyed this one.
Yep.
Upon a rewatch, this one moved up from mathematical to algebraic.
Nice.
And I love episode 16, Puhoi.
Oh, yeah. Ah,
so good.
Like, I've found that the Knife Storm stories are some of my favorite.
Mm. Yeah.
I went back and looked, and Rainy Day Daydream was 4th out of the 26 episodes in season 1, and this one is now 7th. So ranking, mm. I mean, it's very comparable to where it's like, I love these episodes. They may not be the very top episode of the season, but they're mm-hmm. ones that, like, they're just really good.
Yeah, good point with the Knife Storm ones. They're always really good. I don't remember, but Rainy Day Daydream might have been our number one for that season.
That was season 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember what my number one was, but I did go back and look it up and I said it was 4th for me. But like, it's just the one thing that kind of keeps it from being at the very top or even close to the very top is that when he leaves, it is all forgotten. And I kind of mm-hmm. was like, dang, I wish he could keep some of that with him.
Yeah.
Because he lives an entire life. But
it's heartbreaking.
Like, yeah. And even in, again, watching it and then going and watching these newer episodes. Matt, you said you did watch episode 5 of Fiona and Cake, right?
No, I haven't. We haven't watched five or six.
Yeah.
Later, text me later, because there's some stuff in this episode that I noticed yesterday when I rewatched it. I was like, oh, there's some stuff that they're sprinkling these little things. They do it throughout the rest of the show. I just never want to give spoilers. But
yeah,
I love that his children are named Bonnie and Jay, which mm-hmm. is very close to Bonnabelle and Jake. Like,
oh, I somehow never made that connection.
Yeah. And then also, I was wondering with Jay being close to Jake, is this another one of those references that Jake is actually JT Dogzone? Because they never fully confirm it.
Well, yes, we know he totally is.
Oh, yeah.
They never confirm it,
though. I'm concerned that you're wondering that.
But I also want to point out, if you remember at the very end of the episode, after he dies and he's shot back into our reality or whatever the reality we're watching is, he jumps off the tongue of Gold. That was our first entrance to Gold in the show. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who then becomes a larger character down the line. So, and we even see in the newer shows. So it's like mm-hmm. really cool that this episode doesn't fully play a role in Finn's story, but like it has such meaning, at least to the viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely love this episode. Every time we watch it, I'm so glad we've seen it again, but I always feel so like emotionally like drained by the end. I'm like, oh man, that's a lot.
And
I think that's why Puhoi is so high on our list is because it pulls on those emotional heartstrings for sure.
Yep, absolutely. And a few of these top tier ones do.
Yep. All right. So number 6 for us was episode 33, Time Sandwich.
Time Sandwich.
It has high rewatchability, comedy gold. I know you think the sandwich is weird, but I think it's funny. And I think it really like I don't know. It just highlights all the fun that's in Adventure Time. I think Time Sandwich is one of the ones that I will go back to over and over.
And I'm a person who's very passionate about the quality of a sandwich.
So I yes, totally get, that like, is very, very, very passionate about it.
Spent a half an hour making a veggie sandwich. And then there's also like that frustration of like you made this perfect thing and then you try to recreate it and it's like sad and pathetic for some reason when he remakes the sandwich and it's just like wilted lettuce.
Yes.
Between two pieces of bread. Yeah, I don't know. This is just one that I've rewatched many times. This is the Card Wars of this season for me.
Yes, yeah, I could see that.
That's our biggest gap right there, because I had that at 48. So that's that's 42 just, that's episode. Split between us.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's just wild to me. Yeah.
All right. For me, number six is episode 28, Be More.
Nice.
Interesting.
Like we talked about BMO, like as the show's gone on, BMO's just fantastic. And this is another one of those that pulls it all the heartstrings. Like, I think the first half of this episode isn't nearly as strong, but as it goes on, it's so nice to get more depth and learn more about BMO's story and the history of why BMO is the way it is. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I even wrote, so we know why BMO is doing this stuff, like why they explain episodes like BMO Noir as a system that understands fun and knows how to play. So it's like, while it may not be playing with the boy as Finn, even on its own, it's still playing these games. Like, it's designed to play games and have fun. And I like Mo a lot. She's a very genuine person. Seems like all he wants to do is just to help people. But I do wonder how old that man is, because that was kind of insane.
He's more like robot than human at this point. We'll have some more on that one coming up too.
I also mentioned with how old he is, like if we think he's that old, especially with how long we see PB living, like he would have to be older than that, which is a long time. But an amazing episode, like the ending when BMO meets its family, like tears in my eyes.
I got choked up watching that one this last time. And I was like, I have allergies.
That's what I wrote. Stupid allergies acting up.
I just have something in both my eyes. Number five for us is Lemon Hope 2, episode 51. I was very surprised while we were talking about these episodes, in retrospect, how much we actually liked about this one. The addition of Flannel Boxing Day as a character, we really loved that character. We like to imagine it's not actually Princess Bubblegum.
It kind of blew my mind when you said that, because I never put that together.
Me neither until this last viewing.
So we have to say the ranking for this is based on the fact that Flannel Boxing Day is not PB. So if it was PB, I think it would be much lower.
This is like episode 20 or number 20. But yeah, Flannel Boxing Day, we just liked the story in this one overall. The animation we noticed was like there's a lot of effort put into the visual storytelling here. And we get to see a whole lot more of the world than we usually do. So just really, really put it up there for us.
Again, hearing Bubblegum sing at the end, the Lemon Hope song was really nice. It's a good song.
I love that song.
It is. It's absolutely awesome.
Contender for favorite song of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. My number five. We didn't say we're in top five.
Ooh. Oh, number we're in top five. We're top five. Episode 100.
Number 17, BMO Lost.
Interesting.
The BMO episodes, again, they're close to my heart. They're probably going to rank pretty close. I think BMO Noir was really high last season. I don't remember where, but I think I had it pretty high too. I just love BMO. I love Bubble and how random of a character that is. And the fact that it's talking and voiced by LeVar Burton is lovely.
Yep.
Ricky Sparkle, I did write, is probably the ugliest thing that this show has ever done. Like, there are characters like Brocco that they mean to make ugly, but this one was just like a special kind of like creepy.
Grotesque.
And I love that Bubble proposes and then Jake's just like pop, like, hey, I popped that bubble, that was fun.
The looks on our faces when that happened was
the wild read after that, like, of I'll always be watching you. I'll always be here. And it's just like that horror, like zoom in on BMO's face. Mm-hmm. And then, yay.
Yep.
We're cool with it.
But a note to end on it. This show managed to make LeVar Burton scary.
Yeah.
And that takes skill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number four is episode 16, Poohoy for Us. And we've talked a little bit already about this, so I don't think we need to go into much more detail. We just love it. It's a great episode. It's
great story. And speaking of LeVar Burton, you know, Star Trek Next Generation actor, you have Jonathan Frakes as probably my favorite guest performance in this season as adult Finn.
Really good.
We've talked a bit about this one already. I think we've covered everything we have to say about it pretty much, but absolutely love it. It's a no-brainer. This was always going to be in the top at least five.
The adult Finn stuff is fantastic. And it is crazy. I didn't bring this up in the vault or in Poohoy whenever I covered it, but the future or even in Finn the Human, like all of the stuff this season with every time we see a Finn character, whether it's, you know, alternate, whatever, and the arm, it's crazy. The groundwork they lay for that. That's just
totally.
I always wonder in this one, in a world of pillows, how did he lose that arm?
Exactly. And it's made of pillow, which they eat pillows and they sleep under pillows and blankets. Like it's
so weird.
Crazy. But very fun.
Alphanumeric.
Number four on my list is the eighth episode, Mystery Dungeon. This would probably be my favorite episode in most other seasons. Like, especially if this was like a season one episode, this would be number one. Just because I love the random assortment of characters that are all thrown together and they all get to be their weird self and it all works. And that after all the weird stuff they go through in the end, he really just wants to get that his book real so he can have Fiona and Cake in the real world with him. So he's not lonely, but he accidentally got Nectar instead of BMO. Cause he's he's dumb. Like it's
poor
Nectar.
Like they use tree trunks as bait instead of Shelby, who is the obvious one to use. It's funny. The whole pie thing where the rat comes out and then Lemon Grab knocks it out and then eats from its open mouth is just baffling.
So gross.
It's amazing.
Like, I just love how insane this one. And the only other thing I have to say is Nectar is a beautiful soul. He deserves so much more from the people around him.
Very neglected.
If I had a never-ending pie-throwing robot, we would be best friends.
Absolutely. I wanted to throw pies into my mouth because I love pies. Yes.
Yep.
Pie over cake. That's my take.
Yep. Same here. Every birthday pie. Well, good choice. This episode deserves more love than it gets. Number three for us. So our top three. Any of these could be our number one. But number three is episode 14. Simon and Marcy. Glimpse at Ice King and Marceline 996 years ago. This episode was so unexpected the first time I saw it. It pulled on all the heartstrings. And it is the perfect blend of sadness and humor in a way that's not jarring. Sorry, go ahead.
I agree. I think it's just such a gem. It really is a gem. I think like this is just really there's affection in here and just really think about how you have this budding relationship that you didn't really think would be likely, and then to see it continue throughout, like as a thread throughout the entire series, is just so beautiful. And to have this origin story essentially of these two and the impact of Ice King, and how this is just, you see a glimpse of Simon in a way that we haven't seen before. And I just think it's just such a great, great episode.
Yep.
Yeah. To this point, it's lovely to see him. We've only seen him really as Ice King. So it's nice to see him normal, and he's clearly like insanely intelligent compared to anyone else, and yet he, because of the crown, is crazy and is just, I don't know, I love this episode. Reminded me a lot of The Last of Us on a rewatch. I played the game and watched the show totally and everything that. But it was like when I watched it again, I was like, man, this is a ton of like, he's helping Ellie get to where she needs to go. And he's going to, in a way, sacrifice himself to allow her to live.
That's a great point.
And I haven't got to that one yet. It's not my number three. So, you know,
yeah,
we're almost to it. I'll have a little bit more to say on it then, but yeah, I love that episode too. It's so fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
But my number three.
What's your number three? Yeah.
Episode 48, Betty.
Hey, okay.
So I understand that it's a lot packed in an episode, and I have issues with that in a lot of ways. But remember I said I had two hills I would die on.
Mm-hmm.
The second hill I'm dying on is that Simon Petrikov is the best character in all of Adventure Time. His story,
no argument.
Normal and as IK, dwarf all others in the show. Like, his story is the best.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know. You haven't seen everything. There's a lot of really good stuff. And again, one of my favorite episodes coming up, Evergreen, is a lot about the history of the crown and all this, all the ooh and how we got here. So I love that there's so much like passion put into these type of episodes, including Simon and Marcy. They really give us a fantastic look at how intimate these characters can be, how they're like real life story. I don't know. I love it. And the fact that in the end, they get to even briefly reunite as themselves, setting up some future stuff. But even then, like, this is maybe the first one. Most of his storylines, IK's storylines, end really sadly. Like, we see him, and we kind of feel bad for him. This one, it is still sad, but we see a glimmer of hope that will continue through the rest of this main show.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, they struck gold. Like, you know, the writers must know they struck gold with this storyline, because it's continuing today with current Adventure Time series. Like, I love Adventure Time. Like, a lot of it for me is like the humor and things like that. But as far as like storylines in it go, easily the best storyline by a long shot.
I think this one, this one, again, it's just a little too much. That's why it's not at the very top of the list. It's a lot in one. But like, we do get a lot of good little things that have huge impacts. Like the fact that also Marcy gets to reunite with Simon. It's been... We were saying in Simon and Marcy, 996 years. Like, I don't know if he went crazy exactly that 996 years ago, but it's been close to 1,000 years since he has not been Simon.
Yeah.
And she's finally getting a chance to talk to Simon again and not crazy IK. So it's such a good one.
Yeah, she really faints when she hears the news.
Yeah. Can vampires really faint? That's the next answer. That's the next question.
Also, Death as a character is so funny in this one too.
Death is, yes.
He is great. Also, I would have to say that I will pin like whether or not that Simon Petrikov is the best character in the whole series until I see the rest of it. And then I'll have a response to that. All right. So our number two runner up is...
You're ready. Have your minds blown.
Episode 4, Up a Tree. We love this episode. Y'all know it. Our number one just barely edged it out. We chose A Heartstring over an entertaining, fun episode. Up a Tree just has all the parts, all the things that make Adventure Time fun. It has great voice acting. It has just, it's just a great episode. Highly quotable, highly rewatchable.
I don't think there's any episode of the show I find more funny than Up a Tree.
Yeah. And the fact that they brought back characters is just amazing.
You've all heard us gush about this episode for years at this point, if you've been listening. Or there's nothing more we could say about this one. This was our favorite episode of Adventure Time for years.
Yeah.
And oddly, something beat it out this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's sometimes the heart strings beat out the ones that... See, I did the opposite. The heart strings didn't beat out my top one.
Oh, okay.
So for me, number two is episode 14, Simon and Marcy.
Hey.
It's probably up there is one of the best like emotional episodes. I think I do question this. And then now as we've watched Fiona and Cake, I question a little bit less, but I was also curious, how'd they get the theme rights to be able to play the Cheers theme song? How much does that cost?
Yeah, I assume a lot.
Yeah. And now they're using it a ton more. Multiple times in an episode. So it's like, okay, well, maybe it was a lot then, but the fact that maybe you get a discount, the more you use it a ton on a show, it's like cheaper. Probably not. But yeah, like we kind of already talked about this one. It's an amazing episode. It is one of the best episodes it's number two in this list, but I think if I did a 200 whatever episode, 50 something episode ranking, it would be top five easy, maybe close to number one. Like, it
might be the same for us too.
Yeah. And it drops a little bit on this specific ranking, but overall, like, it is one of the best episodes of the entire show.
Nice.
All right. Okay, number one time.
Woo. Be More. Episode 28. This one blew my mind, because if you'd have asked me where I'd place this before we rewatched the season, I would have put this in like middle tier.
Yeah.
And this last viewing, everything in it clicked. Like, I think even the first half, before it gets serious, all the funny side characters in this one, like Aziz Ansari as one of the
guards,
Simo or Demo.
Yeah. And then you have Paul F. Tompkins as like the security guard. And then you have this random scene where it's like, oh, we're going to go take a break. And we follow them to the break room.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected. But then, of course, the serious parts in this one are amazing. The ending is so emotional and awesome. But this is another one where it's perfect blend. Like all the tones that they were going for, it all meshed so well together that I think it's a pretty perfect episode in my mind.
Matt, do you think that your viewing of it changed because you're watching it, one, you're older, right? Mm-hmm. But then also thinking about like watching it with me watching it the first time and like seeing it from a different perspective.
I assume that's probably the case, because that has changed my opinion on a lot of the show since we started watching it together. Seeing a lot of episodes under a whole new light.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of them. Like, this is probably the number one biggest surprise for me this season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Love it.
Yep. Usually we pick a fun episode as number one.
It is a fun one.
Just in a different way. Yeah. All right, well, Hunter, bring it home.
Episode 43, Root Beer Guy.
Woo!
Oh my God.
I love Root Beer Guy. Awesome. I just watched it again today. It is one of my favorite. This would still be a top 10 overall. And it's such a simple story. I love the fact that he's just some regular dude living a regular life.
Yeah.
And he stumbles. He wants more. He stumbles across something. And then it looks like his relationship's over and like he's going to lose his wife. And like,
yeah,
it all comes together. We get a little more Root Beer Guy in the future, but this is like a single contained episode.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. So bingo, bingo. Good line. I wrote a story about a regular guy that accidentally stumbles upon something much bigger than anyone could have suspected. No one believes what he saw. He becomes consumed and begins to question his reality and sanity. His relationships suffer, and in the end, he's sort of right. I mean, he did see what he saw, but it wasn't really real. So the good guy wins, and his reward is to do what he loves, allowing him to ditch the typewriter and his mystery novel. And with his wife at his side, our hero proudly departs hand in hand to dance with his wife for the first time in quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. I love this episode.
That's a really great way of putting it. And it gives me a whole new appreciation.
Yeah. So, well, now there is, like, I do find it weird, though, that he walks in at one point and his wife's in a French maid outfit. She's like, I want to space it up. I was like, well.
Yeah. This is your up a tree. Root Beer Guy's up a tree.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love
it. Not as funny, though. Up a tree is actually funnier. Than Root Beer Guy. It's just like Root Beer Guy is like just a really good story. It's and his like monotone story. Voice is also fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Wow. All right. Good choice. Oh, good choice.
Awesome. That was really cool. Great ranking.
Woo.
So, okay. We're going to give one favorite Finnism. So there's a lot of options, but Matt, what was your favorite Finnism?
I was going to go anything from Up a Tree, but I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it because it could be too predictable for me. So I'm going with, what, the Bjork?
I love it. Hunter, favorite Finnism?
I wrote down two, and it's hard to go between
them. Pick one.
I think I have to go. Yeah, I'm going with Up a Tree as well, but pooh.
I'm pooped. That's a good one.
He says it so many times.
Yep. My favorite Finnism is Madingus from I say that all the time. I call people Dingus all the time. It's great.
I was going to go with pooped or my dingus. My dingus.
All right, Matt, favorite single episode character?
I don't think I ever chose one. I'm going to go with
Choppy Choppy.
Oh, the owl. I'm going with the owl. From Up a Tree, Jim Cummings.
Yeah, that's such a great one. All right, Hunter, what's your number one favorite?
Mark Proch is Johnny in Bad Timing.
Yes! I just love
his character.
Amazing choice.
Good. All right. Mine is, I would have to say, probably Flannel Boxing Day was one of my favorite characters in the whole series.
Yeah.
The difference in that whole like two-part episode.
All right.
Favorite song, Matt?
I Just Can't Get Over You.
Ah, that's mine too.
From the Slime Princess episode.
Yep. I tell you a story about that. When Matt and I were dating, I probably told the story already, but like he sang that for me, and I know like it was just like, oh, it was just one of those great songs that you're, you know, I hadn't watched Adventure Time at that point. I didn't really know the whole like why that song came to be, but it's just a great ditty. It's a great song and it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm going with the Good Little Girl, Bad Little Boy song from Bad Little Boy. I love it.
Awesome. So, awesome. Awesome.
All right. So now we're going to, our last thing is an impression.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot.
Me too. And I just remembered and I'm trying to like go through it and they're like, what can I say?
All right. Matt, you're up first.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Frakes as Finn. Alphanumeric.
I love that. That was great. Hunter.
You go first.
Okay. Mine is, I'm Finn. I'm a human. It's Finn from Up a Tree. We say that again. It's like highly quotable episode. We say it all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like to do Lemon Grab, but okay, it's going to get really loud. So
I'll equalize the audio or whatever.
I just like anytime he says unacceptable, he's like, unacceptable.
I love there you it. Go.
Good. You should have been the recast Lemon Grab.
Great. That's great. All right, Hunter, last thoughts about this season.
What a journey.
Yeah.
It is such a long season, but it's kind of great. I mean, it definitely had to have been on for more than a year. I don't remember. I didn't look at the dates, but 52 episodes, I mean, full mm-hmm. year. But they probably doubled up at some point. But man, like, it's been my favorite so far of the rewatch. It's the top heaviest, like it has so many great contenders. I mean, we were like talking at 15, we're saying these are amazing episodes and could be one, you know, early on.
Yep. Yeah.
But the fact that I'm still in at one point at the 40s and I'm like, I kind of love these episodes too.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really good season.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really quick. So Finn the Human aired November 12th, 2012. And Billy's Bucket List, March 17th, 2014.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I don't really feel so bad taking so long to go through the season.
Yeah, we took about as much time to get through the season as the actual show did. Yeah.
You would think at one point they'd just break it up.
Yeah.
But like Matt had said, their showing of Adventure Time was so random. It'd be mm-hmm. off for weeks, come back and there a bunch. And then, yeah, it was so random.
Absolutely. I keep saying absolutely. Sorry, that's like my default word today.
So Matt, what's your last thoughts on this season?
I know every season I always say at the end, like, this might be my new favorite season. And like, I don't, and now I'm feeling that way about this season too. It has some of the best episodes of the whole series. But even having stuff like, we had like Root Beer Guy at number 40, and I loved that episode. So it's just like, it was really cool seeing the evolution of the show just from the beginning of the season to the end of it. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to go forward because season six, there's a lot I don't remember from that. So it's going to be like watching it again for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's another 42 episodes. So yeah.
Hot dog.
It's the last of the long seasons. It gets back to normal after that.
Home stretch after that.
Yeah. For me, what I appreciate about, there's an arc over this season. You know, we have a little bit of sprinkling of like, you know, serialized episodes, but really it like, kind of is like this arc of like, hey, we're moving away from like the classic Adventure Time, and we're moving more towards story driven kind of episodes. Given I don't know what happens in future seasons, so I don't know how true that statement is. But from what I understand, there's more plot driven stories, and so I just or episodes, and so I think it's just going to be really interesting to see what happens. And I think maybe this is just like a great middle point. And here we're seeing both. And as evidenced by our, you know, by our ranking, it's like there's the heartstrings, there's the, you know, story driven, there's just the fun one-offs. And I'm just really curious to see what happens next.
Very well put.
I feel like we as the show goes on, we grow with Finn. It's kind of how the stories go. They're really adventure-y and kind of childish in the beginning. And here we are in more of the teenage years. And then by the time we get to the end, he is a lot more mature. So it's really fun to, we're watching him grow in a way. And us as viewers are, I guess our viewing is growing with him.
Yeah. And I think that's what the story writers intended, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why they had, you know, Jeremy's, like, they kept his voice, you know, like as it grew, his, you know, he,
even as it changed, like you can hear his voice sounds different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who would have known the depths the show would go to? Like looking back at season one and thinking of an episode where like Finn's kicking a giant in the crotch and making it puke to episodes like Simon and Marcy. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
The show has evolved.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hunter, we want to thank you for being part of this. We appreciate your input, your thoughts, all the material you put together. We sure appreciate it. And thanks for hanging out.
Of course, of course. I'm so happy to be on here. And like,
you know,
episode 8 or 9 or whenever I started listening and just like emailing in, I wouldn't have thought we'd have got to this point. And it's awesome. And if you'll have me, I'll be back for ranking next season.
Absolutely. I keep saying absolutely. I'll keep it every episode.
You need a thesaurus to like.
I know. I need more words.
Positively.
Yeah, positively. It shall happen. Right. Ask and you shall receive.
Oh my goodness. All right.
All right. So that is it. That is our ranking of season 5. I want to thank Hunter again for joining us. It was a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk to him again. And so now we're going to get to some listener feedback. If you're wondering where Amy is, she's actually working on the notes for season 6 right now. So yeah, we're really excited to get on that. Anyway, listener feedback. All right. The first one's going to be from good old friend of the podcast, Corbin. Titled, After All These Years, It's Finally Back. And Corbin says, hey, y'all, just got finished listening to the newest episode of the podcast. This one was a little while ago. And can I just say, OMG, I'm so excited for what the show holds. I know you guys have said that it doesn't really feel like true adventure time, but I don't know. To me, it really does. I think this is referring to Fiona and Cake. And anyway, they say, and maybe that's just because I have more context from distant lands and finishing the whole series. But again, I don't know. It could just be me. I was also more than a little surprised at the cursing and amount of blood shown. I know it's not anything crazy, but it still feels strange. I just want to say I love the first 2 episodes, and I'm super hyped for the next one. That coincidentally comes out on my 15th birthday, so that'll be a nice treat for me. LOL. Anyways, hope you're all doing well, and I'll catch up with you on the flip side. Bye! Well, thank you so much, Corbin. We always love hearing from you. So yeah, as far as where you said we didn't think Fiona Cake felt like true Adventure Time, like, that was never meant as like a knock on Fiona and Cake. To me, it just feels there's enough of a difference that I feel like it is very much its own show and has its own identity. Also, happy belated birthday. Hope you had a fun one. All right. And the next one is from another good old friend of the podcast, Kayla. And it is titled, Hi, Amy. Hi, Matt. I hope all is well. And Kayla says, I wanted to send in my thoughts on the Jonah symbolism from the Lemon Hope episodes. Okay. Yay. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, we were hoping somebody would. I'm not saying that I'm right, but I do want to put my own 2 cents of what I think the symbolism is, if y'all are still confused. My religious trauma might be good for something. All jokes. Once again, I've got a long email for you both to read. Sorry, I'm so bad at keeping my thoughts short, lol. No need to apologize, we love reading these. So anyway, the story of Jonah and the whale. To summarize, the story of Jonah and the whale is a story of disobedience and redemption. Jonah was an individual who was chosen by God to deliver the message of the Lord to the city of Nineveh? Ooh, Nineveh? The city was known to be a dangerous one, full of wickedness that needs salvation. Because of the city's reputation, Jonah was afraid and disobeyed God. He decided that he wasn't going to go, and instead boarded a ship that was traveling in the opposite direction of the city that God told him to go to. During the voyage, the ship eventually ran into a major storm, one that threatened the ship itself, along with all the crew. The crew began tossing all their belongings overboard to lighten the shipload, to hopefully be able to weather the storm. But when none of that worked, they threw Jonah overboard and the storm immediately stopped. While he was thrown overboard, he eventually was swallowed whole by a great fish, or as most say, a whale. He lived in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights as punishment for running from his mission given to him by God. He spent that time in the belly asking for forgiveness from God for disobeying him. After the time in the belly, the whale spews him out, and he makes the journey to Nineveh, to bring the word of God to the city, henceforth bringing salvation to the inhabitants. How it relates to Lemon Hope. I think the similarities in the story are as follows. 1. Lemon Hope disobeyed Princess Bubblegum, disobeyed quote-unquote, Princess Bubblegum originally by refusing to go to the Castle Lemongrab and save the lemon people. 2. He boarded a ship that eventually led to his banishment of the ship and being abandoned. 3. Was saved by a quote-unquote whale and Flannel Boxing Day, which is God indirectly if you consider him to be PB, because PB is the god of all the lemon people in a way. Wow, that's a really good point. 4. Made his way to Castle Lemongrab and delivered salvation to the city. I hope I explained that in a way that makes sense. Yeah, you totally did. I love it when Adventure Time makes worldly references to things I have a bit of knowledge on. Some other stuff. I'm very excited for y'all to be going into Season 6. It's got some of my favorite world-building episodes along with my all-time favorite filler episode that I keep talking about. Thanks for the crab apples, Giuseppe. Oh yeah, I love that episode. Man, a lot of people really love that episode, huh? I know that I've mentioned it to you both before a lot, so I hope you enjoy it. Otherwise, I've gotten your hopes up for nothing, haha. Regardless, if you do like it or not, I'm super excited to explore the rest of the show with you both. I'm looking forward to it very much. I'm also super excited for the Fiona Cake series. I haven't listened to your first episode yet because I still need to watch it for myself, but I'm beside myself with excitement. I have a bunch of theories about Fiona and Cake and how they play into the regular Adventure Time series. Hopefully all my questions will be answered soon. Final thoughts? I'm so sorry I gave y'all a whole essay to read. I have such a bad habit of going on and on about the show. You both bring such an encouraging and supportive energy to your fans that sometimes I can't help it. I love writing to y'all. I don't expect you to read any of this on the show, by the way. Oh, it's happening. And Kayla says, I'm aware it's a lot. But if you encourage people to share them, then I'm always going to be first in line. Also, very excited to hear all the submissions that other fans have submitted. I would submit one myself, but I can't sing for the life of me, so I'll enjoy everyone else's voice. Keep up the amazing work. Oh, yeah, so that's referring to the listeners sending in their music submissions episode. P.S. Have either of you heard of / played the new Baldur's Gate 3 game? It's a big D&D story game that's super amazing. I believe I remember a while back Matt saying he enjoyed dungeon-type games. I could be wrong, but you should check it out. Yes, I do. I love dungeon-type games. I've not played Baldur's Gate 3. I hear it's amazing. People are really loving it, so I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And also, thank you so much for all the info on the Jonah story and how that related to Lemon Hope. Like, that's awesome. I'm so glad to have this knowledge now. And I really hope that you enjoyed Fiona and Cake. I can't wait to hear back from you about that. And I hope that a lot of your theories ended up playing out, because you are, like, probably the most knowledgeable in Adventure Time lore of anybody that I know. So you're probably, like, right on the money. So thank you so much again. We love hearing from you. Feel free to write in anytime. All right. So next, we've got an email from Fred P. There was actually another email before that by Catherine L., but it does have some spoilers, potential spoilers for Fiona and Cake. So I'm going to read that one on a further date in case anybody hasn't had a chance to catch up with that show. So anyway, from Fred. Oh, hi. I'm Cosmo from Nigeria, and I just wanted to talk about how entertaining your podcast is. Actually, I'm an individual podcaster myself. I've talked about Adventure Time in about two of my episodes, if you'd like to check them out sometime, at the Midnight Coffee on Spotify for podcasters. Thank you so much. I will absolutely check that out. And y'all are entertaining. Also, Matt, you should get into voice acting. Your impressions are so real. Thank you so much. Adventure Time is my number one cartoon, and I'm really waiting on y'all for Season 6 and the Food Chain episode. Yeah, I'm really curious about that one, because I haven't seen that episode in a long time. Anyway, love y'all and your podcast. I think both of you are a fire duo. Thanks for the entertainment. And also, Fred sent some images. Looks like some fan art of Adventure Time. And also a logo for the Midnight Coffee podcast. So yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out. Thank you so much for the email. And I also hope your podcast is going well. All right, so next we're going to go to Ryan, Ryan L. The title is Fiona and Cake, Holy Shirt Balls. And Ryan says, hi, Matt and Amy. Hope you guys are enjoying the series as much as I'm enjoying your coverage of it. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the most recent episodes. Just finished episodes 7 and 8, and I'm looking forward to next week's finale for obvious reasons. I've been pleasantly surprised with the series, as I always dislike the Fiona and Cake episodes. Oh, really? I was expecting a random episodic adventure, but not this heavily tied together story that fills in some blanks from Adventure Time. And I'm super down to do Distant Lands when you get there. Take it sleazy, Ryan. Thank you so much for the email, Ryan. And yeah, I'm so glad that you enjoyed Fiona Cake, especially knowing that you weren't a fan of the Fiona Cake episodes in the original Adventure Time. That's a hot take. I think I've known one other person who didn't like those episodes, and it's my sister. Hi, Regina. And I'm also really glad that you enjoyed our coverage of it. I hope that you continue to enjoy it up to the finale. And yeah, I wasn't sure what I was expecting from Fiona Cake in the beginning. Like, I kind of thought it was going to be an episodic adventure thing, too. And it wasn't. And I also really enjoyed the fact that it tied together some things from some loose ends from Adventure Time. All right. So next, we've got a message from Raven S. And the email is titled, My First Email. Hiya, my name is Raven. I'm a huge fan of Adventure Time. My favorite characters are Marceline, PB, Phoebe, Flame Princess. Oh, Phoebe. Huh. Huntress Wizard and Peppermint Butler. Plus, I think Death is a cool character. Oh, nice. We can agree on that. My favorite seasons are 3, 4, 8, and 10. Not including the Distant Lands, which would be Wizard City and Obsidian. I found your podcast at work and listen to it every night because I'm Graveyard. I'm thinking of cosplaying Marceline for my 25th B-Day, November 10th. Happy belated birthday, by the way. But at KumoraCon, which is the week after. I can't wait to listen to the rest, but I listen on Spotify. I also plan on writing books, which will look better than this email. Anyway, I hope that you have an amazing day slash night. Thank you so much. And man, Graveyard Shift, I used to do it myself. I hope that you've adapted to it. And yeah, I'm so glad that the podcast helps you get through work. And also, so your favorite seasons are 3, 4, 8, and 10. I know I love seasons 3 and 4. 10 has some amazing episodes. And then it's a shorter season, if I remember right, too. And 8, I know that's a big story-driven one, and I can't wait to get to that. Well, anyway, thank you so much for the first email. Feel free to write in anytime. We loved hearing from you. All right, and we got an email from Nico. Titled, To Be Honest, I Like Fiona and Cake More Than Finn and Jake. Wink face. And it is some artwork of Fiona riding on Cake's back. And it's awesome. I can't wait to share that one on social media. Thank you so much. And also, fine, you can like Fiona and Cake more than Finn and Jake. And we got a follow-up email from Nico saying, I need my cat Cake. Do you know why? And there's, oh, wow, a photo of their cat who is like the same color as Cake. And also very adorable. Okay, next email is from Demon Assassin, and the title is Loving the Show, and their message is, Hey guys, loving the show, wanted to send this saying I'm about 3 episodes away from being caught up in about a week's time, lol. I wanted to say that if you're interested, there's a Card Wars game available by Cryptozoic Entertainment that is easy to find on Amazon or most major board game retailers, though I will say the rules are a bit complex and not hologram tech included. I wanted to include a small story of why I didn't watch Adventure Time. When the show was on air, I worked at Walmart in the electronics, and the display TVs kept running ads for the show, and all they showed was Finn and Jake in random locations, with Finn constantly yelling, What time is it? Over and over again, so it just seemed like the most annoying show ever, with only that to go on. Until around 6-ish years into the show, when a friend gave me some actual info on what the show was like, and I gave it a shot and loved it. I now own the DVDs as well, and watch it often. Funny enough, I think they only say Adventure Time maybe 2 or 3 times in the entire show. I know one early episode, Finn says it, and another episode, Finn asks Jake, what time is it? And Jake says, Adventure Time? And Finn answers, no, man, it's like 3:30. But those are the only two I can recall. Personally, my favorite character has to be Flame Princess. Oh, nice, good choice. One of my favorite episodes is Thank You with the Snow Giant and the Flame Wolf. It is just so cute, and I can't get Sleeping Ice King saying, in Iceable Vink armor out of my head. Though the episode that gives me the most feels is Bad Timing with LSP's boyfriend disappearing. This makes me so sad and is like a Black Mirror episode that will always live with me as a cautionary tale. I've hunted YouTube for a number of Adventure Time, Steven Universe, and other such songs, and I found some really good covers, and since the AI thing, you can find a few covers by Finn, Jake, and BMO out there. They are so-so. If you want me to send any along, let me know. Oh, yes, please. Absolutely send some along. We'd love to hear it. I currently do a small Sailor Moon project where I parody the manga and post it on social sites like Tumblr, Insta, and Twitter at SM Rewrite. It's PG-13. We'd love a shout out if you could be so kind. And yes, you're absolutely getting a shout out from us. I also plan to start selling custom stickers soon, and I'll gladly send more information when the time comes. Lastly, Matt, you could easily get work doing impressions or voices. You do so many great ones. Thank you so much. I'm very flattered. There's an entire job of voicing over actors cursing in movies for TV and such. Yes, I know. That would actually be such a funny job. Keep up the great work, L. Thank you so much. That was an amazing email. And also, that's a really fun fact. Like, they don't actually say Adventure Time that often throughout the show, do they? I kind of want to Google, like, the exact amount of times that it's said. Also, thanks for the information on the actual Card Wars game. I'm one of those people who, like, I can never stand a game that's too complex as far as, like, board games and card games go. So I probably hate it. I bet Amy will like it, though. And, yeah, I can totally relate with when you said you worked at Walmart and you saw the commercial over and over again for Adventure Time, and then you're just like, I have no interest in this. So I used to work at a video rental store back when Movie Gallery was still a thing. And we'd have, like, this one DVD playing all day, every day, and it would just show, like, the same clips and, like, movie trailers over and over again. And, like, by the end of the day, like, day one of that DVD, I'm like, I don't want to watch any of these movies. Also, yeah, that's awesome that your favorite character is Flame Princess. That's amazing. She is a pretty awesome character. All right, and we have a voicemail from Erickson. So let's give this a go.
Hey again, guys. It's me, Erickson, again. I was calling again because I heard you guys were going on a vacation to New England in, the winter for Christmas, and that's actually where I live. So, yeah. And, yeah, I was just calling to say that. I love your podcast. Just listened to the episode, your latest episode a few minutes ago. Bye!
Oh, thank you so much, Erickson. We always love getting voicemails from you. And by the way, like, we just love getting voicemails in general. So if anybody ever wants to send one, please do. We'll totally play it on the show. And also, yes, we went to New England. We went to visit my family. Chances are we probably drove by close to wherever you live because we started in Rhode Island and, like, drove up to New Hampshire one day. So we were just all over the place. Anyway, we hope that your holiday season was great. And thanks again for calling in. All right. And here's an email that I really wanted to be sure I got into this episode because it is a ranking. Top 5 characters and episodes by Frosty Salt. They say, hi Matt and Amy, I'm Brett. You may know me as @BrettFlix on Twitter. Ah, I do know you. I do know you. Love interacting with you guys on there. Today I was listening to your podcast episode over Simon and Marcy in Season 5, and you both mentioned how awesome it was for people to share their favorite episodes with you. So I wanted to share my top 5 characters and episodes. Ooh, I love this. Okay, top 5 characters. Number 1. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna read these in reverse order. Build the suspense. So number 5, The Witch and the Witch's Garden. I'm not married. Yes. 4, Fiona. Loved rediscovering her in the Fiona and Cake spinoff, and I can't wait to get to your coverage of it. 3, Flame Princess. She deserves her own spinoff. She's literally been closed off from the world. Want to see more of her perspective. Yes, I do too. That's always been a heartbreaking thing to be with Adventure Time. Like, I always wanted a little more of Flame Princess. 2, Finn. Love how he changes and grows throughout the show. I agree. And number 1, LSP, Lumpy Space Princess, because her one-liners are the best. All right, top 5 episodes. Number 5, Bun Bun. Much needed closure from my FTH and FP. Oh, you know what? I don't remember that episode by name. 4, Apple Wedding. Yes, I love that. Everyone at the party, get ready. Here comes the hot bunch of grapes. 3, The Creeps, LSP yelling in agonizing pain as she's in the bathroom emptying her dump truck will forever be iconic. Yes, amazing episode. 2, Hot to the Touch, even if we like each other, we're going to hurt each other. Oh, my poor heart. And 1, Burning Low, probably the best marketing in Adventure Time history, made it seem like a love triangle. Ooh, I don't even remember that. Well, thank you guys for this amazing podcast. I've been listening for the past few months, but really feel a part of the ride. One of my favorite moments on this podcast is when Matt exposes you both using hot, wet towels over microphones to get clearer audio. Wait, I don't even remember that. I was laughing so hard. Keep up the amazing work. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for sending that ranking. I love reading these. As I mentioned in a previous episode, millennials love rankings. So I'm so happy to read this. You're awesome. And I look forward to talking to you more on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. All right, and finally, we have an email from Mateo N, titled, Oh My Gulb? And they say, Hi, Matt and Amy. I love that all these emails are, Hi, Matt and Amy, at the beginning. It's become like a tradition. Happy New Year, and congrats on making it through 5 whole seasons of Adventure Time and the first season of Fiona and Cake. I've been binging through the podcast since the new year began and finally got caught up. Oh, finally. What do you mean, finally? You've only been listening for like a month. I can't believe you got through this many episodes. Man, I'm proud of you. I'm an avid podcast listener myself, and I know that's a lot of listening right there. Anyway, I love how much you two have grown over the podcast, and I'm always looking forward to new episodes. It may sound strange, but much like I stuck around for you to come around with Bimbo, I'd also like to make a case for the Lich. Some spoilers ahead, but since you've seen Fiona Cake, nothing too bad. I find the Lich to be a very compelling villain as a reflection of nature of ever-persisting death slash destruction. The same reasons why people fear death or natural disasters is, in my opinion, what makes the Lich such a powerful and amazing villain in Adventure Time. Him being voiced by the great Ron Perlman helps, but his speech about inevitability really sticks with me in the best way. Much like Finn will always be a hero fighting for good in life, the Lich is doomed to his fate of pursuing the destruction of life. We find out later that he's part of a green comet which led to the creation of the Crown. Forces of nature in the universe are not always malevolent, and so don't make the best villains. However, they can be just as terrifying as your crafty villains. I hope this shines a new light on my perspective of the Lich. I'd go into it more, but this email is long enough as is. Can't wait for more Adventure Time coverage, and please never stop going. You've made my life much more enjoyable since finding the pod, and I'm going to start listening to the regular show pod you recommended next. All the love and stuff, Mateo. P.S. Amy, I love seeing mental health slash behavioral specialists such as you represented in media outside of therapy-specific podcasts. Oh, she's going to love hearing that. Thank you so much, and thanks for this amazing email. And also, Happy New Year to you, too. I know we're towards the end of January now, but yeah, I hope that your new year was awesome. And thank you for all this info on the Lich. Like, actually, that does make me appreciate him a little more as a villain. So thank you very much. This is why I love interacting with all you people. This is great. You open my eyes to this new stuff. All right. So I know we've got listener feedback in the form of like Apple Podcast reviews, things like that, and just like general talking to people on social media. But that's going to do it for now. I think in the next episode, I'll cover some more of that stuff. Also, we've got people responding to our Q&As on Spotify. We kind of want to start recording video responses to those, you know, get ourselves out there. So anyway, my goal was to get this to be the longest episode of the podcast ever. So hopefully I've succeeded there after editing. As I mentioned earlier, Amy is hard at work putting notes together for season 6, which we can't wait to start recording this week, finally. And if you want to leave us a voice message, the number is 216-260-GLOB or 216-260-4562. We'll play that message on the next episode, and I would love if you do an impression of a character. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to help the show out. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Oh My Glob Podcast and on Insta at Oh My Glob Pod. We are so excited to keep going. We are more than halfway there. And I never know how to sign off when it's just me, so I'm just going to say goodbye.